we present the News Quiz of the Year with your chairman, Barry Took.
Thank you, and welcome to our traditional look back at the best of the year's news and at the best of the wrong answers from the private eye team. We kick off with this festive warning found in the announcement section of the Times.
Amnesia victim, 35, blonde, found wandering unclothed in Trafalgar Square during the early hours of January the 9th, with parrot, uncut diamond and fresh tattoo, seeks previous acquaintances and explanation.
Many thanks to Peter Donnelly of Dublin for that. Now for our panel. So far in the present series, Alan Corran has won 9 programmes to Richard Ingram's 1. So this is the last chance for the private-eyed team to catch up. They are the said Captain Ingrams and his guest, John Wells. Locking antlers with them are Kate Adey, who's seen most of this year's news from close to, and her team captain, who's written for most of this year's newspapers, Alan Corran. Round one commences with this favourite cutting from the Birmingham Choice.
West Midlands Police Force is to go green to protect the environment. In future, they will be using lead-free bullets.
A responsible gesture there noted by Roger Castles of Birmingham. Richard Ingham's an easy one to start you off. Which media mogul made a last dish attempt to take off?
It's the Dirty Digger. Alias.
All his answers, you know. So unkind to suggest he's some sort of bumbling moron.
That'll do, John. Allow me to answer the question, please. The Dirty Digger, alias Rupert Murdoch, Mrs. Thatcher's best friend, was allowed to put his satellite in orbit.
And vulgar, too.
But nobody wanted to know. Well, and at the end of the year, he was losing £2 million a week.
Yes, that's about it. It's all about Rupert Murdoch's attempts to launch a vacuum into space and start up Sky TV, Equity's answer to Valhalla, all of which put Sky TV on a par with the national debt and the Duchess of York's maternal instinct. Everybody knows it exists, but no one's actually seen it. John, the first one for you now. Which marine was all at sea?
Marine, sir. It's a Marine Corps story,
this
sir.
Marine Lippmann, your very amusing comedy actor.
He's a really wonderful person. With
I think
it's
this
to do with Americans.
It's to do with Americans. It must be a Marine Ollie. Another fine mess you got me into. North, who I believe is actually playing a leading role even now as we speak, down in Panama, where he is pursuing 4 or 5 nuns disguised as General Noriega. But I think it's a wonderful show they're putting on down there, and there are a few seats still available.
It all refers to the saga of Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, who was severely reprimanded for diverting the proceeds of illegal arms sales to the Nicaraguan Contras, and sentenced to 1,200 hours of community service, serving the American community this time, which means that the colonel, who financed the cost of his trial by giving lots of after-dinner speeches, now also has to make the dinners and clear up afterwards. Well, we pause for another favourite cutting of ours, a touching plea from the personal column of the West Highland Free Press.
Will the dirty sod who wants to spoil my wedding photos please return my teeth?
That was Dave Goulder of Sutherland who brought these developments to our attention, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Kate Adey, a welcome return to the programme and a celebratory flavour to your first question. In July, Kate, who commemorated a prison riot with national celebrations?
I do believe that when they were celebrating the Bastille, everybody omitted the fact that when they did actually storm it, there were only about 3 people inside. Whereas now, if you attempted to liberate anybody from prison, 3,000 people would come out. But anyway, they thought it was a great thing, and they had a huge party. And they also threw in the Eiffel Tower as well, or was that another birthday? Have I got them confused? I probably have, but they're both French.
Yes.
They liberated the Eiffel Tower, is that all right?
Yes, that's good enough
Thank
for
you.
Me. Yes, right.
Yes.
It concerns the French bum fight to mark the 200th anniversary of the storming of La Bastille. The whole occasion was marked by Mrs. Thatcher, who particularly endeared herself to the French by claiming the British would have marked the event with much more decorum. And when we spring a few people from prison, we celebrate with little more than the suspension of 3 Surrey policemen. Finally, in this round, Alan, your traditional musical clue. Alan, this year, which breed was in the doghouse for biting the hands that fed them?
Give me the opportunity to pull something out of my cracker for you, Barry.
Oh, my heavens.
Kate, what has four legs and one arm? A Rottweiler. No. This is the animal that gave new meaning to the phrase barking mad. This is that thing that looks like a very small bull and takes bits off you. It was the Rottweiler.
Otherwise known as the president of Romania, probably.
It's all about the killer epidemic of Rottweilers and their large, hairy, razor-toothed owners who have been criticized for training their dogs to fetch people. Brings us more or less to the end of round one on the scores, which are, as tradition allows, 4-4. Well played, right, folks. And on to some awards now for the headlines of the year. And Helen Major of Eltham sent us this award-winning entry from the News Shopper.
Sid Cup doomed, warns Pope.
Richard, another question for you. Who couldn't maintain the interest in his old job?
Pope? Dr. Rumsfeld? Mr. Lawson?
That'll do me, Mr.
He's
Lawson.
He's the fatty puff of the year. Everyone's forgotten him now. At the time it all seemed very dramatic. But he, can't remember what happened.
Blimey.
All part of the new movement of Glasnost, I think. He was thrown out of his, by rioting John Major, and he was forced to give way to this man who no one's ever heard of.
Stocks of cream cakes were found in his secret bunker.
This all harks back to Nigel Lawson's disagreement with one Alan Waters, Mrs. Thatcher's part-time economics advisor, who advised her on her part-time economy. Lawson resigned, leaving an enormous gap in the cabinet. He was replaced by John Major, so there's still an enormous gap in the cabinet. All of which was encapsulated by Radio 4's PM programme, which reported...
And as the Chancellor sat down, the pound fell slightly.
John, your question. Which book couldn't be put down along with its author?
Mr. Ingram's is scribbling.
It's Salmonella boards.
Oh, it's not. It's that fellow. It's the Tariq Ali person. It's Mr. Rushdie. Mr. Rushdie. William Rushton. who wrote this naughty book. And I believe that he's now apparently sharing a small bunker with General Noriega.
All concerned, Salman Rushdie is Islam's answer to the Bishop of Durham, whose work, Satanic Verses, received some pretty damning reviews, principally from book critic the late A. Khomeini. A sort of charismatic Auburn War. And we break now for an apology from who else but The Telegraph.
Due to telephonic error in transmission, we stated yesterday that Mr. Roy Henderson will be knighted next month. In fact, he will be 90 next month.
Well, that was sent to us correctly by M. Alexander of London. Kate, your next question gets the usual clueful musical treatment, and it gives us another and final chance to listen to the Kathy Barbarian Wall of Sound.
Hey, you've got to hide your love away. Hey, you've got to hide your love away.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, the Imelda Marcos of song. That was You've Got to Hide Your Love Away. Question is, which country's numero uno found his days were numbered?
Would these be the dignified people, Mr. Yamaha and Mr. Honda? and Mr. Nissan. If the Americans had a president called Ford, why can't the Japanese have someone called Honda? So, you know, these people who were very serious numero unos in Japan ran into a lot of trouble. Eventually, sort of, Japanese housewives saying, you can no longer be prime minister because you spend your nights up that end of Tokyo doing what people do.
Leg over.
Oh. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. New Japanese game, leg over. Oh, yeah.
There goes the Nissan subsidy to the Chichester Festival Theatre.
My word. Yes, the country was Japan, the land of the rising productivity, who gave us three prime ministers this year, including one Suzuko Uno, who left office after a swift election defeat and a crafty Uno on the side with a geisha girl. Who scored a thumping victory for Nottingham Forest?
I just think how strange it is, broadcasting next to Kate Adie. I hear I'm doing an impression of a pile of bomb damage. Thank
you. Do you want me to climb all over you? I mean, that's
the next question. Oh, for a minute. Now, I know about this because I go to Loftus Road. And this is about Brian Clough, who attacked some football supporters, three of them, which is why we know they weren't Queen's Park Rangers supporters, because there were too many. But it was a Queen's Park Rangers match. And Brian Clough was accused of bringing the game into repute by behaving exactly the same as everybody else does on a football pitch. I think he got a fine, did he not?
It's all about Brian Clough, you're quite right. Our man with the open goal mouth, who caused consternation on the Nottingham Forest bench, as every time the trainer appears with his bucket, Cloughy spits into it, puts his gum shield in, and waits for the bell for the next round. Time to listen once again to the yuletide larynx of our newsreader, Brian Perkins, with this classic cutting from Bournemouth Street Life magazine.
Libra, expect a shock. A sudden change in the weather could catch you unawares. There will be an annoying shortage. Illness will take the fun out of life. A bargain turns out to be a rotten deal. The family are making plans behind your back. Distrust someone who wants to help you. Your lucky numbers are 7 and 14.
And our thanks go to Nick Thomas of Bournemouth, who sent that happy-go-lucky prediction our way. And now the Richard Ingram's judicial question. Richard, how did 4 become free after 14?
These are more men being released into the community. The so-called Guildford 4, is it not?
4, yeah. Oh. How did 4 become free?
Yes, that's right. I got that, Squire.
Oh, 14, you know what I mean?
The Guildford 4, who'd been in prison for 16 years or something of that kind.
Probably 14 years.
Well, they were let out, weren't they?
Yes, that'll do.
There are a lot more people still in prison, and they don't want to let them out quite yet because they haven't quite got over the shock of letting 4 people out. But there are a few more Birmingham Sixes and other people. Yeah. Are you listening, Home Secretary? I can't remember what his name is. Someone called Wellington, I think.
Wellington.
Wardy Love.
Wardy Love.
Wardy Love. He's a very sweet old codger.
There are a few more people waiting to be let out.
Including our studio audience here tonight. This is the sordid affair of the 14 years in jail and subsequent press conference of the Guildford Four, following the Department of Public Prosecution's admission that their confessions had been nominated for the Booker Prize of Fiction. And John, it's time for you to endure some maudlin moment musical.
Grandma, we love you.
The question is, who were a grandmother celebrating their 10th?
I think this is the story of the very miraculous conception of Mrs. Bergedorf II, given the boy Mark's sense of direction. Mark Thatcher managed to run this thing. Anyway, it was a subject of great distress, as you know, to our leader. And they managed to crisscross the United States without ever bothering to call in on Little Pescott Hole, Iowa, or wherever it is that the infant Thatcher resides.
Did you know that I was the grandfather too in the last year?
No, what awful news. The poor child. Has that been announced to the media? Or have we got a scoop?
Yes, it does refer to Granny Thatcher, the popular Giles cartoon character, who issued an official bull announcing we are a grandmother. The Prime Minister still insists on calling herself we instead of I, despite the fact that she's just been billed twice for poll tax. Kate, where is it the wrong time of year to expect a happy Hanukkah?
The answer to this is Mauer. Ein Mauer, wall.
Oh.
It is the breaching of the wall.
Yes.
Have you been studying for 1990
no,
thing?
No, I haven't. Was getting ready for the Krauts coming here again. Won't find me turning the signpost round this time. I should be out there. Waving a flag. Know which side my bread is buttered. Or broat, as it says in my Andy guide to the next 10 years. Sorry.
It's a reference to Erich Honecker, one of the many of the year's former East German leaders, who was resigned by his party. Meanwhile, day trips to Berlin are on the increase, including one from the United States Secretary of State, Baker, prompting Brian Perkins' colleagues on the PM program to comment...
Mr. Baker looked through a hole in the wall and read a speech.
Nigel Ward of Tillicoultry overheard that one and sent it to us. Alan, whose biggest sin was going to church?
I think this is the Lord Chief Justice. Is he not that anymore?
Chancellor.
He's Mackay. Isn't he Lord? No, of course Lord he isn't. He's the Chancellor. He's got the
so
got hog job.
I can correct Alan on the matter of fact.
Because this is about we free fundamentalists. Free and happy drone. The radio listeners of yesteryear. Enoch Ramsbottom and this chap Mackay. One of his friends handed in the great lunch pail but was a Roman Catholic. Made the great mistake of not dying as a Presbyterian fundamentalist. And Mackay turned up at his funeral, and all the fundamentalists back home got furious and started taking down plasticine, sticking pins in him. And I don't know where he stands at the moment.
Oh,
he's probably an eye free. There's not many of them around, are there?
An eye free.
Well, it's we free.
Oh, I see. I see. As in Margaret Thatcher, we free. Thank you very much, Kate. Deduct one mark. And. And add one to Richard Ingham's for correcting Corran, first time in history of the world. With the scores, 12 to Alan and Kate, but 13 to Richard and John. We enter the final stretch with this curio from the Ipswich Advertiser.
Do you control your future, or does somebody else? We're looking for 6 people who can be trained as professionals by one of the fastest-growing financial services groups in the country. But you've got to be a cut above the rest in qualities such as raw enthusiasm, determination, and the ability to attack a goat.
And our thanks there to goat correspondent Paul Reed of Ipswich. Richard, prick up your ears and soak in the sounds of your musical clue.
I couldn't understand a word of that.
Well, I couldn't either, no. But I don't think you're supposed to with that sort of music,
quite.
Are you? Anyway, it's called Rough Justice by a group of ladies calling themselves Bananarama. And the question is, which banana bunch were judiciously cut down to size?
There was a woman called Sonia Sutcliffe who made it into the Guinness Book of Records for about 6 months by winning the highest libel damages ever. And now she's already lost her record to someone called Lord Aldington. And the little chap who often comes in and sits on my left.
And very nice he is.
He is, and very funny, too.
Extremely
Can't
so.
Remember his name for the moment. but he's jolly good. He made this witty remark, saying...
What
this
did he
is,
say?
What did he say?
I know it was jolly funny at the time.
I know bananas came into it somewhere.
They did, yes. Right. Yes, we have no justice.
John, a question I don't even understand, but it's this. Who had real bota for tea?
Bota?
It must be a joke about the very distinguished South African intellectual.
Oh, right.
It's the crocodile.
Oh, really, down there, he's known as that. The crocodile. Fascinating.
Why is he called a crocodile?
I don't know why he's... Why is Mr. Botha called
because
a crocodile?
He's a snappy dresser.
Oh. I must buy some better crackers next year.
I think this is a reference to this very amusing. They've now got someone else called de Klerk. I think that Mr. Botha hopped it. And this is refers to Lotta eating bread and butter. It's a joke about the German poet Goethe and his famous work, Die Leiden des jungen Werthers.
Right off the rails.
What, really? Oh, I thought it was definitely that. Did he?
Oh, how shocking. Yes. Wouldn't he? Well, according to my my extraterrestrial source, apparently Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, author of Die Leiden des jungen Werthers, had tea with Mr. Mandela, and butter was on the menu. No doubt. P.W. Butter. Yes. That help?
It helps me enormously. I now understand the answer about as little as I understood the question. I'll read out what it says here. This concerns Mr. P.W. Botha, the white man's burden, who was swiftly honeycombed from office as South Africa's racial minority leader, much to the consternation of his successor, F.W. de Klerk Botha. The former president had popped in on Nelson Mandela for a cup of tea and a chin wag, and returned a video of the Mandela concert he borrowed. Anyway. A last pause now for this peculiar request featured in Exchange and Mart.
Wanted, two identical gyroscopes and man's kilt.
Goes without saying, really. A gentleman called Peter Scott's eye was caught by that one. Kate Adie, your final question. Can you explain how the ship of state prepared to repel boarders?
There was a point this year, was there not, when if you hadn't spent a little time with a certain Pamela? I mean, where were you?
Hang on a bit.
What?
I just said, hang on a bit. I'm just...
Oh, I thought you said I had a bit. I thought...
No. Listen, actually, there's a great story told of who is alleged to have scuttled up to Pamela Bordes at a party and said, Miss Bordes, may I have carnal relations with you? And she looked down and she said, no, and if I ever hear you did... That wasn't what I said.
Another box of crackers, please.
Another box of crackers.
This is the lurid case of the former parliamentary researcher Pamela Bordes. She was seen pictured with several influential Playboy figures and Colin Moynihan. However, after working her way through Fleet Street, Hansard and most of the Beano, she had her security pass withdrawn and vanished into obscurity, or, as it's known, the Jonathan Ross Show. All of which sheds new light on this quote, for which we thank again Mrs. Colley of Yeovil and the Daily Telegraph, who provided it.
Captain Mark Phillips said that he didn't remember meeting Pamela Bordes in particular because he said theirs was a professional relationship. We were flat out, he said, doing the job we had to do.
Alan, your question now. Where are Turkish kidneys off the menu?
I'm going to set the record straight here. It's got nothing to do with the Wellington Hospital, you know.
Really?
Well, I mean, these unfortunate Turks who walk around Turkey get preyed upon by organ brokers. And they come over here because they think it's 3 and 9 pence a week, and before they know it, they are short one kidney. Frequently two, but I mean, have a chiming clock inserted instead. But they get off the plane and someone comes up to them with a bucket and spade and it's all very
unfortunate. You always trust Alan to answer the medical questions properly anyway. Apparently all this whole problem came to light when a Turkish biology teacher asked pupils to show where their kidneys were, only to have the children point to a map of North London. Which brings us tastefully to the end of the show and of the series. Our many thanks to everyone who sent in cuttings. Keep them coming in. I now call upon our panellists to perform their party pieces, starting off with Richard. Richard, got any good clipping?
Well, this, funny enough, carries on from what we were just talking about. A festive announcement in the Evening Sentinel. Derek and Beryl are delighted to announce the safe arrival and transplantation of Beryl's new kidney.
John, what have you got for us?
Well, knowing what a happy time everyone has at Christmas, this was a cutting from the Holyhead and Anglesey Mail, which suggests, have fun making your own wreath.
Kate, have you brought a cutting for us?
A little sporting tale about a young Arab sheikh who was introduced to and quickly fell in love with the quintessentially English hobby of grouse shooting. On his return to the hot stretches of Arabia, he decided to develop his own shoot, and he ordered suitable shrubs from Scotland, thousands of them, along with several hundred baby grouse. However, when 12 crates of the birds arrived at Jeddah Airport, it seems he could not hide his excitement. Grabbing a shotgun, he prized open each of the crates and proceeded to shoot all the birds there and then.
Finally, Alan, what have you got for us?
Well, I've got a favourite from the Tame and Risborough Times. The witness said, when the police arrived, the kidnappers really panicked. They untied us and told us to say we were at a business meeting, even though it was about midnight. The police came in and we played our part, although I kept dropping hints like we're a little tied up at the moment. Eventually, the police asked for our names. Gravestock Barnes, I said. The officer queried it, so I asked him to let me write it down. I wrote, help. The officer took the piece of paper to the inspector, who then came in and said, which one is Mr. Help?
Alan, you just made my year. But it's been a touch-and-go competition, and the final scores at the end of this particular competition are Alan and Kate, a brilliant year, 16, but Richard and John, this week's winners, with 18. Well played. Since this is the season of goodwill, I won't reveal the final series tally. Suffice to say that it's all ended in a splendid walkover for Alan Corran. We leave the decade with another chance to savour this remarkable episode sent to us by Stephen Booth of Stoke and discovered in the Stoke Evening Sentinel.
Matters got decidedly out of hand in the village of Souk Hajer in the Sudan when a soldier tried to rob an old woman. The acting commissioner said, one of his officers endeavoured to stop the soldier from stealing the old lady's firewood. This annoyed the soldier, who shot the officer and the old woman. Then another officer, who was passing by, shot the soldier and four other soldiers who came to his rescue. By this time, tempers were badly frayed. The army sent in a platoon and shot several policemen. The police were then joined by a group of Zambian wildlife experts and drove the soldiers away. At this point, I myself arrived and was shot. Nobody is sure by whom. However, when I've recovered, there's going to be a thorough investigation.
And with that, well played, Brian. And with that, it's from all of us, goodbye and a very Merry Christmas.
Taking part in the News Quiz of the Year were Richard Ingrams, John Wells, Kate Ady and Alan Conn. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Perkins. The News Quiz 89 PLC was copywritten by John Langdon and the producer, Armando Iannucci.